Let us join together in prayer. Holy and righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life and for that you have blessed and protected us. And we thank you for our free homeland and its different phases in which we have been able to see your guidance. And above all, we thank thee for your holy word in which you want to enlighten unto us your Son, the whole Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask at this moment that you would make your word live through the Holy Spirit, so that the gospel of your kingdom could comfort and reach all those who are listening. This we pray in the name of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are hearing the word of God from the second book of Paul to the Corinthians, from the first chapter, verses 3-7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Amen. Dear listeners, we heard the words of the Apostle of the Lord, these words of comfort and of thankfulness. I believe that thankfulness is topmost in the minds of the people here at these celebrations. We can, under the open heavens, in the midst of summer, be here listening to the Word of God. This sermon of the Word can echo forth purely and strongly, so that it reaches also those who are far away through the internet and different media. That which the Holy and Almighty God has revealed to us in His Word is that which we return to again and again. Nothing else can rise higher to interfere with the Bible. Only from the Bible, from the apostles and prophets and their writings, from these we must begin when we speak. Only in this way can we remain faithful to the person who has given us our task, the Lord of the congregation. Apostle Paul wrote to the congregation that you are built on the foundation of Christ. In this letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is thankful in the way God takes care of us, in the way He comes to help us and forgives us and heals our wounds and gives us new grace. We can find examples in the Bible how God has especially wanted to comfort His people. A very familiar portion is part of the Old Testament, how God comforted and strengthened the Israelites who had left from the bondage of Egypt. before them were harsh, true matters. Their own homeland was far away. Its capital city, where once the living God had been worshipped, was in ruins. The Lord's own people were scattered among Babylonia and were being mixed up into other peoples. And then the prophet Isaiah opened his mouth in the midst of all this and proclaimed that the time has come. And those who heard him thought, this is unbelievable. Many had lost all hope. They were in the midst of a foreign land, which was far from that land which God had promised to his own people for all time. Nevertheless, the words of the prophet were true. This people, their guilt had been absolved, their bondage was over, and the loving God comforted them and led his people home. They were able to taste of the goodness of the Lord. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are sorrowful, for they will be comforted." We know that sorrow does not make anyone happy, but comfort and encouragement helps us in our life. Sorrow surely touches everyone at some time and in some phase of their life, and it can touch whole nations. Natural catastrophes, hunger, diseases, war, or some other mishap that has happened. We have seen examples of all of these. And we can pray for the people in these situations. People ask in these situations, why do all these have to happen? The tribulations of life and the sorrow which it causes is a very human feeling. Although we do not wish it upon anyone, these things also give us hope. Other people's distress makes us want to help them and support them. Each one of us needs people around us who bring hope to the people around them. A good friend is a person who follows with us, an escort, or like a staff upon which we can lean. We know that throughout times, people have asked, why does there have to be tribulation and distress in the world? From the Bible, we have learned that suffering and death are a result of the fall of sin. They belong to mankind. But there are also poor ways of life or poor habits that cause suffering to our loved ones and those near us. And we know that God allows tribulations and trials to happen which we do not understand. This remains a mystery to us. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The New Testament tells us that how the believers in this world had to suffer because of their faith in this world. And even though Jesus knew of his sufferings beforehand, he also knew that his followers would also have to suffer shame and despisement, and he encouraged them, and he still encourages us, that you who confess me before man, I will confess, or I know you, and I will confess you to the Heavenly Father in heaven. In this chapter, from which we read a small portion, the Apostle Paul relates of his own examples, and he tells of his work friends. He had seen that they had to suffer much, but God had saved them from the danger of death, and that is why he thanked the God of heaven and earth and said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." And Paul wrote from prison to the people of Philippi. A person feels the greatest sorrow when he feels himself to be sinful before the righteous God. The holy will, or understanding the holy will of God, has been pictured to be like a person is in a storm and there's no place to escape to. The present and the past hit him so strongly that he wants to ask, as the writer of the Psalms writes, from the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. The most beautiful words of man cannot take away that distress. The only help comes from the gospel, which is the most holy thing, which is revealed by the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This work of love of God, this work of redemption, is brought close to people, so that people can own it. Jesus gave his followers this task when he said, "Take the Holy Spirit, and whose sins you forgive, they will be forgiven." Before our eyes is drawn a picture of a fountain that where there is clear, refreshing water. And this vision opened up on the middle tree of Golgotha. This did not remain in history, but this fountain, from this fountain sprang forth a stream that flows from generation to those people whose sins are pressing them down and who are thirsty on this journey. This stream is the redeeming words that come from the kingdom of God. The grace promises of God are still enforced today. Even today, a person who is wanting peace can hear these words, these gracious words. When a person is prepared by God, then this person's unbelief, the foundations of unbelief crumble, and this person can believe this simple gospel, can believe forgiveness in the name and precious blood of Jesus. And a person can lay his whole life into the hands of the dear Heavenly Father. Before these summer services, I read old publications, Sioni Lehdistlehti's. People wrote of their thoughts. A preacher, Matti Kuula, wrote many years ago to his friend of what he had found. He wrote in his letter that 40 years have gone by from the time when I began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never regretted it, but I rejoice of it still, that the dear Heavenly Father has led me to that road, and up until this day He has protected me in faith. On this road where a sinful becomes saved and through grace receives a living crown in heaven. This person who wrote this letter laid down his travel staff already the next year. We read or heard in the words of the apostle that the Lord comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. This task that we have been given to sound forth this gospel word, this task belongs to each one of us. According to Matthew, Jesus saw the multitudes and he felt sorry for them because the people were tired and weary, like a sheepfold without a shepherd. And then I said to the disciples, there are few, there is much harvest, but there are few who reap it. There's a question here of the harvest of the kingdom of God. We need all the grace gifts of all people who have received them to do this work of the kingdom. So we ask for strength and understanding so that we can approach our loved one and answer their question that how they can attain eternal life. A believer doubts that, am I acceptable to proclaim the forgiveness of sins for one who is asking for the gospel? Speaking of sin, no person can step aside and look from the side. We can say that all people are affected by sin. But God in His kingdom has grace for the sinner. When we discuss matters of faith with others, there should always be graciousness in these discussions. We should respect one another, but the truth should also be present because we are responsible for our brothers and sisters in faith. Living faith contains encouragement and an outlook of hope. Hope that we will once attain eternal life. The gospel is meant to support a believer in his everyday life, on every footstep of his life. We remember from the book of Hebrews that we would boldly walk before the throne of God so that we would find graciousness and we would find help when we need it. We have such a high priest who understands our lackings. For that reason, because he also has been tried and tempted as we have been, but he had no sin. Martin Luther writes, Christ carries our sickness and our pain. He takes our sins upon us, and he is patient towards us. He has not become tired in carrying us. May this be our greatest comfort when we are in tribulation because of our sins. Dear listeners, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, who have personally been able to experience the grace of God, how the gospel is the power of God. In the beginning we sang, I turn towards you in prayer and sighs. I turn towards you, a poor sinner. Help me in my tribulation and bring me your grace. We have nothing to give God. We have not been successful. We have not been able to do good works. But be comforted. He who has promised to be among his own until the end of the world comes to us with his words of gospel. He comforts us. Remain believing, all your sins forgiven. In whatever life situation you may be in, believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood, and be comforted. Amen.